The Gates of Horn and Ivory, by Francis Rosenfeld. Chapter 4.
Koe.
Mother, aren't we going the wrong way? She asked Demeter when the ship left the shore and started following the sun due west instead of sailing towards the sunrise. Demeter smiled, but said nothing. Where are we going?
Sicily.
Why?
You'll see, the latter smiled in anticipation. Anthesphoria was a festival of flowers, and as such, dedicated to Persephone, or, more precisely, to her incarnation as the maiden, Koe. The mind creates sophisticated models to get a grip on reality, abstract structures which are often personified to make it easier for it to relate to them. These models may not make sense rationally, they are archetypal, and are useful in interpreting the world in the absence of knowledge. They build stories to explain the unseen patterns of nature, which are experienced, but not understood. The archetype of the goddess kept shifting, depending on its symbolic meaning. In its young aspect, it was Koe, the embodiment of spring, or the eternal maiden Artemis. At its peak of womanhood, it was Mother Earth itself, or the beautiful Selene, when it was round and full. It was Demeter, and it was Hera, the symbols of fertility. In its later years, she became Hecate, the crone, the dark goddess, the wise woman, the keeper of magic and the guide for those who traveled between worlds. Most of all, she was the triple goddess of the moon, embodying all three stages of womanhood, like the moon going through endless cycles of waxing, fullness and waning. The women folk celebrated Koe, the maiden, for her return from the underworld, but did so in the fullness of summer, when the fields and meadows were heavy with harvest and the whole world was in bloom. They gathered the flowers in thick bunches, no excess was spared, to make garlands and wreaths, with sweet-smelling herbs mixed in, to imbue them with magic. The garlands always included Persephone's sacred flowers, the poppies, the narcissi, the daffodils, and especially the asphodels, which the women carried like symbolic torches, as a reminder of the goddess's descent into the earth. For them, the kingdom of the dead wasn't a dark and desolate realm, but a peaceful meadow, bursting with wild flowers and alive with the buzzing of bees, a place of never-ending summer. Persephone herself had imparted them this knowledge, in dreams and mysteries. She sent them memories of her home, images of its gardens, groves, placid rivers, and flowering meadows. The Festival of Flowers was at the same time a celebration of the goddess, and a representation of her realm, of the world beyond the sight of the living. The women went out into the meadows and forests to gather the flowers, because the flower picking was a devotion to the goddess in and of itself. They then wove the blooms into garlands and carried them in procession through the streets, in the sweet sounds of the flute. Like most life celebrations, the Anthesphoria festival was run by women, who sensed the archetypes of being and were at peace with its ebb and flow. They revered the spirit of life, which flowed through everything, and which they turned into nymphs, dryads, satyrs, centaurs, and mythical beasts in their imagination. Life looks very different through the lens of rituals and celebrations, a symbolic collection of rites of passage, seasonal changes, memories, and harvests. They mark time too, but in a symbolic sense, transcending the mundane, and they fill even the least important life with meaning. Reality is transformed by their magical experience. It becomes a place where anything is possible, enchanting, unpredictable, a place more useful mapped than understood. We need to go over the list of supplications. Demeter woke her daughter up from her reverie. Much as the streets would tell you otherwise, we're here for work.
Very well.
The shepherds would appreciate an increase in livestock. The wine merchants seek favor with the vines. Last harvest wasn't the best and most of the wine turned to vinegar.
Which brings us to the beekeepers.
It seems your subjects decided to snub them altogether and build wild hives in the oak trees of the forest.
Level with your Melissi, will you?
The lack of bees is affecting the harvest. The people must have done something to upset them, Persephone replied.
Whatever the slight, I'm sure they will listen to you, Demeter retorted.
The women have questions about the proper baking of ritual barley cakes for the festival. There is disagreement about the ingredients.
Whatever they bake will be fine, Persephone sighed in frustration. Wrong answer, daughter.
You, of all goddesses,
should understand that with humans, it's never about what they're fighting about. You'll have to figure out a way to settle that dispute while making everyone think they won. Aren't they supposed to worship me, and aren't I supposed to rule supreme and do no wrong? Demeter burst into a hearty laughter, which took a while to subside, while the deckhands, startled by this unexpected reaction, were making themselves busy on the deck, pretending they heard nothing. Ah, daughter, I haven't laughed so hard in a long time. Please don't take all the bowing and the genuflecting seriously, they'll move over to worship Inanna the second you put a step in wrong. You are held to the expectation of perfection. We all are. You have to, at all times, embody the demeanor of an eternal being. By the gods, I miss Hades. Which reminds me, wear more gold, dear, more sumptuous fabrics, don a haughtier posture. That flower child look of yours, it may have worked in some circles when you were a maiden, but you're an aristocratic matron now, a queen, one whose countenance is displayed in triplicate in every household of Hellada, no less. You have to look the part. For humans, it was difficult to understand how one being could split itself into three, donning different ages and guises, but for the gods it was just another way of being. The three embodiments of Persephone looked perfectly appropriate to their purpose as they sat, staring straight ahead, with baskets of grapes in their laps, on top of mantelpieces rich and humble. Besides, her mother continued, to cheer her up. Wearing the horned silver crescent would help you get one over Artemis. Mother, for all her ruling of the underworld, every time she came back to her mother Persephone turned back into a child, both doted on hand and foot and having all the decisions made for her, and her schedule drafted ahead of time with no input on her part. Her assured command as Queen of the Dead seemed but an unlikely memory now and had to wonder whether herbs and charms were maybe mixed into her wine to foster her childlike obedience. Oh, don't you play coy with me. You know you want to. She gazed at her daughter, who looked and smelled like a giant flower, and who wore garlands and poses in her hair and around her wrists and arms, twisted bracelets of sacred herbs and ivy. Demeter sighed. All the gold and silver in the land couldn't improve on the perfection of Spring, who stood before her right now, with an innocent look in her eyes and the sweet countenance of a young maiden. She turned her gaze back to the ocean, still pondering whether its ruler would have been a better match for her daughter, and then remembered all the gods were fickle and resigned herself to the thought Hades was as fine a husband as any. It's not like she ever thought anyone, god or mortal, would ever be good enough for her daughter, and if the latter didn't get taken against her will, she'd probably remain forever by her side, not the best outcome in the long run, she had to admit. If only that marriage of hers were blessed with offspring. Her daughter was the goddess of fertility of all things. It wasn't fitting for her not to have children. They were approaching midsummer, and Demeter was already anticipating the sorrow of having to part with her daughter again. Why did they have to grow up? She remembered the little children wearing flower crowns in the procession, filled with the importance of their first ceremony. The women celebrated new life by crowning them with the first flowers of the year and allowing them to partake in the new wine, whose jars were opened just for the occasion. She choked down tears and the sky mirrored her emotion, gathering rain clouds on the horizon. Ominous and heavy, and looking like bruises, they froze in unnatural stillness for a few moments and then unleashed their watery burdens upon the sea.